ಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಅಭಯಚರಣಾರವಿಂದ ಭಕ್ತಿವೇದಾಂತ ಗೋಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಮಹರ್ಷಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಜಯಂ ನಿತ್ರೀಲಾ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ಪರಿವ್ರಜಗಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರಶತ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀಮಾನ್ ಭಕ್ತ ಸಿದ್ಧಾಂತ ಸರಸ್ವತಿ ಮಹರ್ಷಿಲ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದಿಕಿ ಅನಂತ ಕೋಟಿ ವೈಷ್ಣವ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ನಾಮಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಶ್ರೀ ಹರಿದಾಸ್ ಠಾಕೂರ್ ಕಿ ಪ್ರೇಮ ಸಹೋ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭು ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾಕೃಷ್ಣ ಗೋಪಗೋವಿನಾಥ ಶ್ಯಾಮ ಕುಂಡ ರಾಧಾ ಕುಂಡಗಿರಿ ಗೋವರ್ಧಾನಿಕಿ ಬೃಂದಾವನ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಾಯಪುರ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಮಧುರಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಜಗನ್ನಾಥಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ದ್ವಾರಕಾಪುರಿ ಧಾಮಕಿ ಗಂಗಮಾಯಿಕಿ ಯಮುನಮಾಯಿಕಿ ತುಳಸಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಭಕ್ತಿದೇವಿಕಿ ಸಾಮವೇದ ಭಕ್ತ ಬೃಂದಕಿ ಗೌರ ಪ್ರೇಮನಂದಿ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬ್ಲಿ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರುವೇ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರಿಯಸ್ ಟು ಶ್ರೀ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ನಮಃ ಶುಕದಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಪ್ರಸ್ಥಾಯ ಬೋಧಿಲೇಶಮಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವಿದಾನಂದ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ದಿನಾಮಿನಿ ನಮಸ್ತೆ ಸರಸ್ವದೇವಂ ಗೌರವಾಣಿ ಪ್ರಜಾರಿಣಿ ವಿಶೇಷ ಶೂನ್ಯವಾದಿ ಪಾಶಾದಿ ದೇಶಧಾರಿಣಿ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ನಮೋ ಭಗವತಿ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ಓಂ ಅಜ್ಞಾನತಿಮಿರಾಂಧಸ್ಯ ಜ್ಞಾನಾಂಜನಶಲಾಕಯ ಚಕ್ಷುರುನ್ಮೀಲಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ತಸ್ಮೈ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರವೇ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಚೈತನ್ಯಮನೋಭೀಷ್ಟಂ ಸ್ಥಾಪಿತಾಂ ಯೇನ ಭೂತಲೆ ಸ್ವಯಂ ರೂಪಕದಾ ಮಹ್ಯಂ ದದಾದಿಂ ಸ್ವಪದಾಂದಿಯಂ ವಂದೇಹಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರು ಶ್ರೀಯುಧಾಪದಕಮಲಂ ಶ್ರೀಗುರುಂ ವೈಷ್ಣವಾಂಶ್ಚ ಶ್ರೀರೂಪಂ ಸಾಗ್ರಜಾದಂ ಸಹಗಣರಘುನಾಥಾನ್ವಿತಂ ತಂ ಸಜೀವಂ ಸಾದ್ವೈತಂ ಸಾವಧೂತಂ ಪರಿಜನಸಹಿತಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯದೇವಂ ಶ್ರೀರಾಧಾ ಕೃಷ್ಣಪದಾಂ ಸಹಗಣಲಲಿತಾಂ ಶ್ರೀ ವಿಶಾಖಾನ್ವಿತಾಂಶ್ಚ ಹೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಕರುಣಾಸಿಂಧೋ ದೀನಬಂಧೋ ಜಗಲ್ಪದೆ ಗೋಪೇಶ ಗೋಪಿಕಾ ಕಾಂದ ರಾಧಾಕಾಂದ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೆ ತಪ್ತ ಕಾಂಚನ ಗೌರಾಂಗಿ ರಾಧೇ ವೃಂದಾವನೇಶ್ವರಿ ವೃಷಭಾನುಸುತೆ ದೇವಿ ಪ್ರಣಮಾಮಿ ಹರೇ ಪ್ರಿಯೆ ವಾಂಚಕಲ್ಪತರುಭ್ಯಶ್ಚ ಕೃಪಾಸಿಂಧುಭ್ಯೇವ ಚ ಪತಿತಾನಾಂ ಪಾವನೇಭ್ಯೋ ವೈಷ್ಣವೇಭ್ಯೋ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ ಶ್ರೀಕೃಷ್ಣ ಚೈತನ್ಯ ಪ್ರಭೋ ನಿತ್ಯಾನಂದ ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧಾರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರ ಭಕ್ತ ವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ ಓಂ ಪಾರ್ಥಾಯ ಪ್ರತಿಬೋಧಿತಾಂ ಭಗವತಾಂ ನಾರಾಯಣೇನ ಸ್ವಯಂ ವ್ಯಾಸೇನ ಗ್ರಥಿತಾಂ ಪುರಾಣ ಮುನಿನಾಂ ಮಧ್ಯೆ ಮಹಾಭಾರತಂ ಅದ್ವೈತಾಮೃತವರ್ಷಿಣೀಂ ಭಗವತೀಂ ಅಷ್ಟಾದಶಾಧ್ಯಾಯಿನೀಂ ಅಂಬತ್ವಾಂ ಅನುಸಂಧನಾಮಿ ಭಗವದ್ಗೀತೇ ಭವದ್ವೇಷಿಣೀಂ ನಮೋಸ್ತುತೇ ವ್ಯಾಸವಿಶಾಲ ಬುದ್ಧೇ ಹುಲ್ಲಾರವಿಂದಾಯದ ಪಲ್ಪನೇತ್ರ ಯೇನ ತ್ವಯ ಭಾರತ ತೈಲಪೂರ್ಣ ಪ್ರಜ್ವಾಲಿತೋ ಜ್ಞಾನಮಯ ಪ್ರದೀಪಾಂ ಪ್ರಪನ್ನ ಪಾರಿಜಾತಾಯ ತೋತ್ರವೇತ್ರೈಕಪಾಣಯೇ ಜ್ಞಾನಮುದ್ರಾಯ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ಗೀತಾಮೃತ ದುಹೇ ನಮಃ ಸರ್ವೋಪನಿಷದೋ ಗಾವೋ ದುಗ್ಧ ಗೋಪಾಲ ನಂದನ ಪಾರ್ಥೋ ವಲ್ಸ ಸುಧೀರ್ಭೋಕ್ತ ದುಗ್ಧಂ ಗೀತಾಮೃತಂ ಮಹನ್ ವಸುದೇವ ಸುತಂ ದೇವಂ ಕಂಸಜಾನೂರಮರ್ದನಂ ದೇವಕೀ ಪರಮಾನಂದಂ ಕೃಷ್ಣಂ ವಂದೇ ಜಗದ್ಗುರುಂ ಭೀಷ್ಮದ್ರೋಣತಟಾ ಜಯಧ್ರತ ಜಲ ಗಾಂಧಾರ ನೀಲೋಲ್ಪಲ ಶಲ್ಯಗ್ರಾಹ್ಯವದಿ ಕೃಪೇಣ ಮಹನೀ ಕರ್ಣೇನ ವೇಲಾಕುಲ ಅಶ್ವತ್ಥಾಮಾ ವಿಕರ್ಣ ಘೋರ ಮಹರ ದುರ್ಯೋಧನಾವರ್ತಿನಿ ಸೋತೀರ್ಣ ಖಲು ಪಾಂಡವೈರಣ ನದಿ ಕೈವರ್ತಕ ಕೇಶವ ಪಾರಾಶರ್ಯವಜ ಸರೋಜಮಲಂ ಗೀತಾರ್ಥಗಂಧೋಲ್ಕಟಂ ನಾನಾಖ್ಯಾನಕ ಕೇಸರಂ ಹರಿಕಥಾ ಸಂಬೋಧನಾ ಬೋಧಿತಂ ಲೋಕೈ ಸಜ್ಜನ ಶಲ್ಪ ಧೈರಹರಃ പേബീയമാനം മുദാം ഭൂയാൻ അംഗജം ഹലിമല പ്രധ്വം സിനശ്രേയസേം മൂഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യ ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുതസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈർ സംഗമതൈർ ക്രമോപനിഷദൈർ ഗായന്തി യം സമഗാഃ ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തി യം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാന്തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമഃ. ഓം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം. ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. So we'll continue from where we stopped last Saturday, from the 7th chapter, verse we finished verse 15 and from 16 onwards. So from now on Krishna is going to say certain things about the different type varieties of devotion, different types of devotion. Devotion actually you can broadly classify devotion into two, sakamam and nishkamam. Sakamam means devotion with material desires, and nishkama means one who has no material desires, purely to serving Krishna with the intention of pleasing Krishna. So sakamam and nishkamam, two kinds of devotion is discussed, but here Krishna is discussing in a different way, in the sense that Krishna says chaturvidha bhajante maham jana sukuti arjuna artho jityasu arthaarthi jnani cha bharadarshavam. Krishna says that four kinds of people worship me or surrender unto me. Chaturvidha bhajante maham, my dear Arjuna, they are all sukritis. Sukriti means one who is fortunate. That somehow or the other, if one comes to Krishna, that is considered to be a good fortune. Because without some good fortune, it is not possible to take Krishna consciousness seriously. Chaturvidha bhajante maham jana sukritino arjuna. Who are they? Artho jityasu arthaarthi jnani cha bharadarshavam. They are generally classified as artha, jityasu, arthaarthi and jnani. The four different kinds of people who come to Krishna. There are artho jityasu arthaarthi jnani cha bharadarshavam. My dear Arjuna, they are generally in these four categories. So, strictly speaking, the first one is referred to as artha. Artha means one who is experiencing distress in this material world. Generally, majority of the people are experiencing distress in the material world. It's rarely that one could say anyone belongs to the other three category. Okay, arthati is also there, but jnani and jnyasu, or the inquisitive one, and the jnani, or the person in knowledge, they are very, very rare. Because what brings people to Krishna? Only when they experience the distress in the material world, that is what brings people to Krishna. Artho jnyasu arthati jnani cha bharadarshavam. Generally, before coming to Krishna, to some extent, one's sinful activities also has to come to a stop. In other words, when one is continuously engaged in sinful life, it is difficult to remember Krishna, or it is also difficult to accept Krishna's authority and Krishna's instructions. So one can say that when the sinful reactions are coming down, when one becomes a little serious about the spiritual life, that it is only due to engaging in pious activities in several lifetimes that one comes to understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is another aspect of that. Then in the result of that is the faith develops in Krishna as well as in the devotees, and the result of that is that he takes Krishna consciousness seriously. Then, but at the same time, due to the prarabdha karma that has followed him, from his previous activities, which has not gone away, for which he has accepted this material body. So in that material body, that he experiences different kinds of distress.
So on the one hand, the desire for Krishna consciousness is there, but on the other hand, different kinds of material distresses comes to him in this world. And therefore, in order to free oneself, because the pressure from the material world is so high, that when one feels the distress, he wants to have a relief from that, and they take to the shelter of Krishna. Then some other people, they have a desire to know about Krishna. It is purely out of inquisitiveness, that is jijnasa. Jijnasa causes them to come to Krishna and to inquire from Krishna about the Absolute Truth. But that also is finished when the jijnasa is over. That means once they understand the Shastra and when they study the Shastram, a lot of their inquisitiveness is fulfilled by the knowledge from the Shastram. So this inquisitiveness also subsides after a while. Similarly, Artharthi also wants money. That first of all, when he is in the material world, somebody is thinking that with the help of money, most of my material problems will be resolved. I do not need anything else. If only I had a few millions in the bank. That's how they think. So because this understanding is so strong, that the desire for wealth is so strong, many people come to Krishna with that desire, asking for wealth. So artha, one who is distressed, distress can be various kinds, adhyalpiyam, adibhaudiyam and adidevigam. There are three kinds of distresses generally classified. Adhyalpiyam means that one is developing from within, one from his own mind and body, that is adhyalpiyam. Adibhaudiyam means that what is forced upon him by the other living entities. For example, when you go to office and there is so much politics in the office, you get victimized by that, even if you don't want to get involved in that. And you start thinking that somebody is my friend and somebody is my enemy. All these thoughts comes to you from different sources. They impose upon you some distress in some way or the other. So like that, in all the dealings in this world with other living entities, even from other other animals even, that can also be considered into Adibhaudhiyam. And the third category, which is Adidevigam, are that which one is forced upon us by the material nature, like the tsunami and all that. These are all comes to that category. So every distress in this material world will fall into one of these three categories. There is nothing else outside of these three. Adhyalpiyam, Adibhaudhiyam and Adidevigam. So if you take any of this distress, it doesn't matter which category it belongs to. Distress is distress at the end. It brings unhappiness in life and misery. So because of that, although it is classified in like this, anyone who is any of this distress may approach Krishna. That is why artha is mentioned. Artha means that suffering, experiencing that distress in this world and suffering from that. Jijnyasu, one who is inquisitive. He wants to know because he has some desire to know. That about the Absolute Truth, what is God, what is our relationship, this kind of relations. But he hasn't gone further from that. It finishes with that jijnasa or the inquisitiveness. And then the third category is Artharthi, one who believes in the wealth, who believes that the wealth is the whole solution to all the problems of this world. He has also not gone very far. But here you will notice the last category, which is mentioned as the jnani. He says there that those who have come to realize in this world due to their extreme renunciation and detachment from this world and full of knowledge about Krishna or the position of Krishna as the Absolute Truth, they approach Krishna in a different way. They don't approach like the other three categories. Their understanding is that I have a relationship with Krishna. It is my duty to serve Krishna. And I have no other business in this life except to surrender to Krishna and take Krishna's shelter and serve him and to please Krishna in all my activities. That is the position of jnani. So you can see from the very beginning itself that jnani's position is slightly different. Jnani has some realizations. By studying the Shastram or from the scriptures, jnani has already come to the understanding that human life is meant for inquiring about Krishna. Human life is meant for pleasing Krishna. So that realization is very strong in the jnani's mind. That is why Brahma Sutram also says, Adhado Brahma Jnasa. that Brahma Jinyasa has come to him very strongly, and due to that Jinyasa already being fulfilled from the Shastram, he just wanted to experience that. So Jnani comes to Krishna in a different mode. And the another interesting thing from that is that this particular group, Jnanis, they have no expectations in return. As soon as there is expectations from Krishna that fulfill my this desire, fulfill my this plan, then it becomes a business. Prahlad Maharaj says like that in the Bhagavatam. Anyone who deals with Krishna in that way, it's purely on the platform of business. It has not gone very far. So that sakama bhakti, in the Bhagavatam you will find akama sarvagamova mokshagama udaradi tivrayana bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param. Those who are sakamis or the sakama bhakti, who has got desires, such devotees, they will also, after a long time, they will come to a nishkama stage or the free from desires. It may take a long time. But Bhagavatam says that even if you are situated in the sakama situation or with material desires, if you have no desires, free from all desires, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param, everyone should serve Krishna with intense devotion. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeda purusham param, that Supreme Personality of Godhead, one should take his shelter under all circumstances. Then the difference with the jnanis is that jnanis are always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, and not only that, they are thinking about Krishna, that in that they are experiencing a great happiness also because of the very strong support from the knowledge that they have acquired. And that knowledge did not come to them in a easy way, because they have sacrificed a lot in their life to come to this understanding that Krishna is the only supreme personality, who has to be worshipped throughout life without any difference. So this realization didn't come to them overnight. It has taken a long time for them to come to that understanding. So Jnani's position is superior, Krishna says, in all ways, because he has come to me knowing my position as the absolute truth. So that relationship between Krishna and the Jnani is somewhat different. That relationship between Krishna and a artha, or Krishna or and a artharthi, or Krishna and a jijnyasu. This different relationship between Krishna and Jnani is very different from Krishna's relationship with the other three categories. Artha is concerned, he only wants his arthi to be removed. That means as long as the material distress is over, then he would find it very difficult. So many other engagements will come for him. There will be other programs already lined up. So temporarily the distress, then you will see him next time, and the next arthi comes. He will come back to Krishna again. So he comes and goes. He doesn't stay permanently there. As soon as the arthi is relieved, then he leaves Krishna. He goes. And then he comes with the next arthi back again. So that is his situation. Unless the arthi is so powerful that he is constantly experiencing the distress, and then he would probably take Krishna's shelter on a long-term basis. Otherwise, it is not a permanent relationship. Artharthi. Artharthi's case is very easy to explain. As soon as the money is in the bank, then the relationship is over. Then that is artharthi. And then Jinyasu also, as long as his inquisitiveness is satisfied, because that will depend on different people. Some people will be satisfied with a little bit, someone will be satisfied a little bit more. So all these things are there according to one's degree of inquisitiveness. As soon as he is satisfied, he will leave and go after he also. But Jnani's position is different, Krishna says. Jnani's position is different. Because Jnani, ultimately he goes back to Krishna. And if he doesn't go back to Krishna, he is not satisfied. He is continuously in the understanding that he has gone beyond the three modes of material nature even. He is thinking all the time, or the degree of goodness is so strongly, he is fixed up in the mode of goodness, that he is constantly experiencing the happiness in serving Krishna. Not only that, he also finds that he has no other business in this world except to serve Krishna. He has come to that understanding. For that purpose, he has even given up all other happiness in this world, This is the jnani's position. In other words, one who is properly situated as a jnani, he is also a very advanced devotee in the name, in fact his renunciation is concerned. His renunciation of this material world is also very high. And that is why he is able to develop this jnanam insight, this knowledge insight. The knowledge has been built up only due to the high degree of renunciation from this world. Jnanam naivadiyatnam munirapavadade brahmadatvam toshranvan ghadam tolpadayaktim bhavadivaran sharana bhavadiyatasya mukti karagre. Krishna also responds to the jnani in the same way. That jnanam naivadiyatnam munirapavadade brahmadatvam toshranvan. That Shastras are saying that jnanam has to be developed with a lot of effort. It doesn't happen easily. That munirapa vadade brahmadatvam tashranvan. But the difficulty with jnanam is some people, they think that developing jnanam is the only goal. Developing jnanam is not the goal. The goal of life is to develop attachment for Krishna. That is the goal. Jnanam can only help one in that direction. Tvadhyane viha dulyam punarasukarada chitta chanjalya hedoho. That at that time, when the process of developing this spiritual knowledge on Lord Krishna, automatically the mind is not easily surrendering, mind is not accepting due to the association with the lower modes of nature and also due to the previous vasanas that is inside. They are all dragging him back in different direction. Tvadhyane viha tulyam punar asugarada chitta chanjalya hedoho. That mind is oscillating all the time, not allowing him to take shelter of Krishna. Abhyasadashu shakyam tadabhivashayidam tvalkriva charutabhyam. Then in that situation, jnani is very determined. He does not give up. What does he do? Abhyasadashu shakyam. He continuously practices, still analyzes in his mind all the time when different negative results comes in this world, or in other words, different types of problems comes in this world. Jnani, because he has got knowledge, he is able to analyze the situation properly and come back to Krishna consciousness, not allowing the mind to get victimized by the modes of nature. That is Jnani's position. Jnani is able to stay with Krishna because only because he has the knowledge in him. Abhyasada shushakyam. And apart from that, he is also practicing it all the time. By abhyasam alone, he is able to maintain his steadiness in spiritual life. Abhyasada shushakyam. Then tadabhiva shayidam tulkriva. Continuously prays to Krishna for his mercy. He does not simply leave everything to himself. He leaves it. He also, apart from his own effort to surrender to Krishna, he is constantly asking for help from Krishna to maintain his steadiness in spiritual life. Abhyasadashu shakyam tadabhiva shayidam tvalkripa charudabhyam. Krishna's mercy alone, tvalkripa charudabhyam. Charuda, or in other words, he engages himself in such a way that he finds a happiness in Krishna. They are personalities who have found happiness in Krishna. They are the jnanis. Whereas the artharthi, jnanyasu and artha, they have not found any happiness in Krishna. Only because of the distress they have come to Krishna. But happiness has not started there. Happiness is not built up yet. But for a jnani, there is always a happiness in serving Krishna. He finds happiness in there. So that is an advanced state of consciousness. Tesham jnani nitya yukta. Eka bhaktar vishishyade priyohi jnanino dhyartam aham sajamama priyam. That this devotion that has come from knowledge, Krishna says, is very, very, very superior. And also, it has to be admired that he has developed knowledge, and from knowledge, he has developed an attachment for me. That kind of devotion Krishna is do appreciate more. That and also, the devotion what a jnani has, that is constantly increasing. It doesn't finish there. Because the knowledge that he has built up brings devotion. And because the devotion is pure, tesham jnani nitya yukta. Nitya yukta, he is fixed up in that. Ega bhaktir vishishyadeem. That his bhakti is very special. Why? Priyohi jnanino athyartham aham saja mama priyam. That because for the for a jnani, one who has come to that level of devotion, for him in this world, the dearest thing is Krishna. He hasn't got any interest, any attachment for anything else. So, because of his knowledge and because of his devotion, he has come so closer to Krishna that Krishna is the most dear thing for him in this world. And Krishna says, Aham Saja, Aham Saja Mama Priyam. And he is the same person, and that is a similar person who is very dear to me as well. In other words, Krishna is recognizing the position of a jnani.
Udara sarvaye vaide jnani twalpaiva me madam astida sahayuktalma mameva anuttamam gadim.
Any kind of devotion, Krishna says, is good. But that is also good. At least the willingness to come and to surrender to Krishna, that itself is a very noble thing. There are many people who find that even very difficult because of their some misfortune in their life, that they feel that surrendering to Krishna is a very difficult thing. Why should we surrender to Krishna? Why should we accept Krishna's authority? Who is Krishna? This case, their mind is deterring to them to not to accept the knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita. That important thing is, somehow or the other, a conditioned soul should come into contact with Krishna. How does it happen? Doesn't matter. It immaterial how it happens. But somehow or the other, if it comes into contact with Krishna, that is the auspicious thing for the living entity, for the soul. Then, although in the beginning one comes to him, he has sense gratification also in him, that sense gratification would not leave him easily, because so many lifetimes he has practiced sense gratification. He didn't practice Krishna consciousness. What he has been practicing was sense gratification. And in all other species also, for example, cat, dog, snake, tiger, lion, any other form of body which we have gone through out of the 8.4 million different species, we were not engaged in serving Krishna. We were engaged in gratifying our senses, namely eating, sleeping, sex life and defense. This is what our activities were. So out of the 8.4 million different species, before we came to the human form, in all the other species, what we were doing was except gratifying the senses, nothing else. So this Krishna consciousness business has only started very recently. And that is why every time we get pulled very strongly by our animal propensities, it takes over very easily. And therefore, then we surrender and submit to that. So in order to free oneself from that kind of influences that pulls us back in spiritual life, Krishna is saying here, Udara sarva evaide jnani twalpa eva me madam asti do sahayuktalpa mameva anuttamam gadim. That whatever kinds of devotion it is, at least you should learn to give up the attachment for sense gratification. Because he should see sense gratification as his biggest enemy. We don't recognize it because we think that if I don't gratify my senses, what else is there in this life? This is most of the people in this world think. And to some degree, we stop sense gratification because we know that also it is damaging to the body. So out of fear for diseases or fear for the bodily problems, we give up sense gratification. But they are not the main reason why we should give up sense gratification. The reason it mentions here, why it is so, that due to sense gratification, you will not be able to understand Krishna. So in order to understand Krishna, the first thing is to give up sense gratification. So generally in the Srimad Bhagavatam, because of this reason only, that the four regulative principles are mentioned there, at least to bring some discipline in life, so that one is able to start somewhere Krishna consciousness. Then these two things don't go side by side, gratifying the senses and advancing in Krishna consciousness. Either one will fall down, give up the sense gratification, and take to service Krishna consciousness, or one has to give up Krishna consciousness and surrender to the senses. So this is how it is mentioned, that egam ya esham ya udara sarvaye vaide jnani twalpaiva me madam astida sahayuktalpa twameva anuttamam gadim. It can happen that in due course, if he gives up this sense gratification, that he will develop renunciation and knowledge. This renunciation and knowledge will bring him pure devotion, and there's a possibility that he will be able to go back home back to Krishna. But because of this jnani's renunciation along with the knowledge is that what makes him very attractive to Krishna. Krishna is attracted by a person's endeavor and also the enthusiasm to give up sense gratification. Sense gratification actually takes a person away from Krishna. But when one is able to offer, control his senses, Deya sarva bodeshu sandrishto yena yena jil sarva indriyoba shandhyaja tushadi ashu janardana. Krishna is pleased when one controls his mind and senses. Our senses are by nature always looking externally, looking outwards. All our senses are looking outwards. Then you will notice that every single sense in our mind and in the body is always looking for gratification. There is no time you can say you're not gratifying the senses. The eyes wants to see nice things, so we go around looking for things where we can find something different, varieties. And so that desire comes in, and then we make plans in that direction. And similarly, we also want to eat nicely, so the tongue is dictating so many things. To satisfy the tongue, one is looking for good food and moves from one restaurant to another, saying that this restaurant is better than that restaurant. And this way we make comparisons and thinking that that's going to satisfy the tongue. And similarly, every five senses out of the five karmendriyams, all of them are continuously demanding gratification. And we helplessly continue to serve them all the time because we have no developed that strength of mind to control the senses. So we get affected by that. So here, it says here, that bahunam janmanamande yanavan mam prabhadyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahalma sudurlabhaha. That bahunam janmanamande yanavan mam prabhadyade. Krishna is again giving a recognition to the jnani. What does he say? Bahunam janmanamande yanavan mam prabhadyade. Jnani alone he is able to surrender properly. Why? Because he has got jnanam, and this jnanam has come to him. Then he has come to him because jnanam or ignorance is the cause of distress in this world and also the bondage. Bondage and distress happens due to jnanam or ignorance. And when there is ignorance, there is no question of developing any other proper understanding of Krishna. But in the jnani's case, Krishna says here, bahunam janmanam ande jnanavan mam prabhadyade. After many lifetimes, a jnanavan, one who is in knowledge, he surrenders to me, Krishna says. It is his knowledge that forces him to surrender. He has no choice because he has come to that strong realization in his life that my duty is to surrender to Krishna. Bahunam janmanam ande jnanavan mam prabhadyade. He realizes that after several lifetimes, he comes to this understanding. So you can see how difficult it is. These lifetimes include all the animal life we have led through also. That was also had to go through before we, that's also different births. And all that different births we have gone through. And after coming to the human form, again we have passed through many lifetimes. And only in the human form, we had the opportunity to perform a little bit of pious activity. The result of that, we have come to a little bit closer to Krishna. And in that time, we are able to read Bhagavad Gita. And when we read Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is telling us like this, bahunam janmanamande jnanavan mam prabhadyade. That jnanavan, the one who is in knowledge, will surrender. So in other words, we still don't have the knowledge, that is why we are not able to surrender. We have still thinking what should be done. A little bit of attraction for Krishna consciousness is there. But at the same time, that perfection in Krishna consciousness which a jnani has not developed in us yet. That's why he says, bahunam janmanamande jnanavan mam prabhadyade. And what is actually blocking us? Our own vasanas. The vasanas that is following us from previous lifetimes, what we have, so we have to fight against that as well, very strongly. Every jiva, every living entity, when he comes to this world, he comes with this strong vasanas. And unfortunately, what do? We increase these vasanas in this life further by our own actions. We are not even aware that our own activities are actually increasing these vasanas. And the more we increase the vasanas means what? It means that more material bodies we have to generate. Because these vasanas won't allow you to give up the material body. More bondage and more material bodies. So when this is happening, the only thing one who has developed spiritual knowledge by association with the devotees and by learning shastra, by studying the shastras, and also living a life very conducive for spiritual life, one will get some purification. At that time, all the pure vasanas or sadvasana in a person will develop, and with the result will be bhakti, knowledge, devotion and renunciation. Bhakti and vairagyam will come from that. So these are the subtle side of the life. Often we don't take any of these things into account in our daily life. In our daily life, we just think that whatever comes, we'll accept it. We have lost that power to discriminate things properly, and we just have to deal with that every day, every moment, in the whatever that is thrown at us. But shastras are saying that a jnani, he is always conscious of this when he deals with this world. When he deals with the world, he is very conscious of it. What will affect his spiritual life, he guards that very strongly. And whatever is destroying his spiritual life, he will make sure that he will keep away from such influences. Then, so many lifetimes after that, one gets that steadiness in mind, a certain degree of balanced mind to develop spiritual life, and he becomes a jnani. That, but without jnanam, without knowledge, there is no possibility of liberation. Liberation won't happen. So, when one has developed the knowledge, spiritual knowledge, it is quite natural the desire for liberation also will build up very strongly. These two things go very well together. Because it is a symptom of jnanam that the desire for liberation comes to a person. When there is no jnanam, that kind of devotion will be simply finishes with fulfilling the material desires. Kamaisthaise hrida jnanam prabadhyendanya devada tantannemamastaya prakrityaneda swayam. After glorifying the jnani's position or the person knowledge, Krishna now talks about a devotee's relationship with Krishna, in how it develops in different ways. To establish that, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Lord. And to establish that, in the next few verses, you will see how Krishna analyzes the devotee's mind. From Krishna's side, how he sees the devotee. That what normally happens in this world is that people have different plans. It is so difficult to tell everyone to give up all their material desires and surrender to Krishna. That won't happen. Overnight it's not going to happen. Because the very fact that they have accepted a material body shows that there were very strong vasanas behind. So out of the 6 billion human population, if you take in this world, every one of us have come here with very strong, powerful vasanas that has followed us from previous lifetimes. That is called kameisteste hridajnanam. So what does these vasanas do? They cover the knowledge of the soul. The soul's identity is covered. That is how the vasanas are powerful they are. That kameisteste hridajnanam. This kama means this material desires, different kinds of desires. They cover the soul, and this ignorant or vichevam and avaranam comes to the mind. Mind gets affected by the vichevam. Vichevam means to take something else as important, not the real thing. Seeing everything in a different way. Not realizing the temporal nature of the material world. Not able to accept that this every happiness in this material world is also temporary. And not even able to see the danger in trying to enjoy the senses in this world. This is how powerful they are, that this vichevam of the mind will cover us in such a way, it will tell us, what's the harm, let me enjoy it for the moment, after all we are going to die one day anyway. This is one kind of argument. There is another kind of argument which says that everything in moderation is okay. So that is also another kind of argument. There is a third kind of people who says that, after all, if I don't do it now, I will not get another opportunity to do it. So that's the third type. Like this you will see different types of people bringing forth different arguments all in the one direction. What is that? Sense gratification. Nobody is telling you that stop the sense gratification. Everybody is telling you do it in moderation or don't lose this chance. Or if you don't do it, when what will happen? What is the body given to you for? Like that. But the devotees who have perfect understanding of the absolute nature of spiritual life, who understands that, what's our relationship with Krishna and how to build up that, they will say in a different way. What? Hihi me dehamoham. Haha, this dehamoham, the absorption in the body, is the biggest enemy first. What to talk about gratifying the senses? The very absorption in the body itself is damaging. Hihi me dehamoham. This dehamoham, absorption in one's own identity as this body. The problem starts from there. Tejapavana puradishayal premahetom. That it is so difficult to give up this attachment to the body. And when one is very attached to the body, where is the question of getting attached to Krishna? That doesn't happen. It is very, very difficult as long as one is very attached to the body. That is why the bodily necessities have to be minimized. Bodily demands has to come down. What has happened is that in the process of getting happy and satisfied in this world, a living entity has caught himself trapped in the family life or household life, and with the result of all that is he has got attachment everywhere. Already while coming to this world, a lot of vasanas are inside, and that has manifested also one after the other, and the result of that is he has become himself absorbed in the el prema hedo dehe vitte kalatradishu. First deham, one's own body, attachment to one's own body. Then next is money. Dehe vitte. He knows that in order to keep this body going, vitam, money is required. So then the endeavor starts for that. Once the money is in, then what does he want? The next, a partner. Kalatradishu. Katram is required, wife is required, because he is feeling lonely alone. So a partner is there. Kalat adishu, kalatra adishu means, actually it means from that offsprings, the children and the relatives and the society and the all the happiness from that. Dehe vitte kalatra adishu tulpadam vismarandi. All this is doing only one thing, force you to forget Krishna's lotus feet. That's all it's doing. That's what they are saying. Dehe vitte kalatra adishu tulpadam vismarandi. Tulpadam vismarandi, Krishna's lotus feet is forgotten in that process. Soyam vanyeshuno va paramihamarado sambradam chakshikarnam tukjihu agrei vikarshandi avashamayada kobina tulpadabjem. That devotee said to Krishna, soyam vanyeshuno va, my first attachment in this world is this material body. That is my first attachment. Everything else I am getting attached to only to serve the happiness of this body. In order to keep my body happy and in order to keep myself happy, because I have identified with my body, I want to keep my body in a good shape and satisfied. Therefore, I have acquired all the rest of the things in this world. But what is the condition with this body? Soyam vanyeshunova. One day it is going to be eaten by the fire. Fire will take over. At the time when the body is finished, the fire will take over this body. Or somebody else, if fire didn't take off, even if you throw it away in the forest, the dogs and foxes and jackals will come and eat that. Or wolves, they'll eat that body. Somehow or the other, the body is only worth that much. But my illusion and the vichayam in the mind is so strong that I am still not able to give up my attachment, identification with this body. So you can see, we normally most of the people think that family attachment and so many other attachment, if I can come out of that, how nice it will be. They feel like that. But Krishna's in these instructions, Krishna is saying there, you have already started with your body, the attachment. The attachment is built up from then on. So yam manye shuno va paramihamarado sampradam cha akshikarnam tukjihva grevigashandi vavishamadamada kobinatvalpadabjem. And once I am in this body, attachment to the body is so strong that all the senses tukjihva grevigashandi, that my senses, the sense of touch, and the sense tongue. These are the two very powerful ones, the tongue and the sense of touch. In other words, the belly and the genitals. To jiho agre vigarshandi vivashamadi vada kobina tvalpadabjem. They are continuously crushing me, it says. They are continuously crushing me. They won't allow me to free myself from this bodily identification, because both these things, twerk and jihwa, they actually, or the tongue and the genitals, they actually increase the identification. Very strongly it increases the bodily identification. Therefore, such strict controls are enforced on them so that one is able to regulate and control it. Somehow or the other to bring them under control, that is the goal. Whether it's man or woman, it is equally the same. Tuk jihwa agre vikar shandi. And they are crushing all the time. Vivashamadida kobina tvalpadabjem. And eventually you collapse. You don't have any strength to, after that, to practice Krishna consciousness. After all these senses are gratified, where is the question of practicing Krishna consciousness? It says like that in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Kobina tvalpadabjem. None of the senses are bringing me back to you, to Krishna's lotus feet. That's what it says. Kobina tvalpadabjem. Nobody is bringing me to Krishna's lotus feet. All they are doing is taking me away from Krishna. Hi me dehamoham tejabhavana viradi shayal prema hedo dehe vite kalatradishu yuvishidam tulpadam mismarandi swayam manneshuno aparamiha marado sampradam cha akshi karnam to jihva agre vigarshandi vivashaydi madakobina tvalpadabjem. Nobody is bringing us closer to Krishna. All these senses are only, they are our greatest enemies. But do we recognize it like that? No. What do we think? They are our greatest friends. Isn't it? We think our senses are, oh, if Krishna has given us these such nice senses so that we can enjoy. And this is our intelligence. And this is the nature of this material world. That Maya makes us think so strongly that as long as I am enjoying in this world, everything is going on well. And Bhagavad Gita is saying there, they are your greatest enemies. Udaras bahunam janmanamande jnanavanmam prabadyade vasudeva sarvamidi samahalma sudurlabham kamaisteste hridajnanam prabadyendanyadevada tamtham nemamastaya prakritya neda swayam. So what happens is, when the desire for sense enjoyment is strong, many people start worshipping different demigods. They start worshipping different demigods with different desires. The desires are so strong, unable to give up those desires. So when they start worshipping, sometimes they get the results also from their worship of the demigods. Because there itself, the difficulty is that because they approach these demigods with material desires, they are not able to see that behind all this is the Supreme Personality, Krishna. One should approach Krishna only with the desire for freeing oneself from the cycle of material life, from the existence. But that knowledge does not manifest in that person. Tam tam neva mastaya prakritya neda swayam. So even when approaching these different demigods, the intention is to somehow or the other fulfill their desires. There is nothing more to it than that. And as soon as their desires are fulfilled, their devotion is also over. So that is the way the normal conditioned soul in this world behaves. And first of all, majority cases, they would not take to shelter of any deities. Even that is not happening. But even when they come, they will take the shelter of so many other insignificant living entities. And in their shelter, they'll try to find some happiness in this world.
Yo yo yam yam tanim bhakta shraddhayarchitam ichyati tasya tasya jalam shraddham tameva vitatamyaham.
That another interesting thing is that when they worship so many different kinds of deities in this world, they will also start comparing them between different deities. Or this deity is good because he has fulfilled my this desire. Another deity is not so good because he has not done what I have asked him for. So like this comparison starts from then. And then they start higher and lower. They start bringing all these kind of calculations in their own mind. Because everything is based on ignorance. It's not based on knowledge. They have not come to spiritual life to go back home back to Krishna. they are still wants to have what we were discussing before, a comfortable life in this world without being disturbed by the lower modes of nature. And because in the Vedas there is provision for all these things, they are also there. Everybody in this world is not have a plan to go back home, back to Godhead. We shouldn't misunderstand that when you walk outside, walk through London city, everybody is thinking about going back home, back to Godhead. Everybody is not. We should not misunderstand that. Hardly anyone is thinking in terms of going back to Godhead. And those who are rest of it, you can say 99.9% is virtually thinking of living a good life here. That they want, and therefore, if Vedas have only given this one instruction of going back home, back to Godhead, Vedas would have left this world long ago. Vedas have survived here because there is also provision for those people who really wants to make this life also very happy. And that is the desire that is very difficult to overcome. And our mind is very strongly anchored here. And therefore the mind won't allow us to forget this identification with the body, with the family, with the money, with the wealth, everything, whatever that is around us, which has been keeping us day after day going, somehow or the other. It keeps going, one after the other. So, that is the nature of this world. Material world is like that. So, Krishna is saying here that that it is not easy to give it up, because suddenly some desires get fulfilled. And as soon as the desires get fulfilled, immediately your faith also gets stronger. Because it's business, from the beginning to end it's business, that the desires are getting fulfilled. Sometimes he doesn't realize that it has come to him due to his own karma, whatever he has performed, some pious activities he may have performed before, the result has come to him. But when he makes a little success in life, in material opulences or anything what comes to him, he starts thinking that the deity I have been worshipping, my devotion is so pure now to that deity, that the deity is giving me everything what I have been asking, and he is fulfilling my desires. That means I am properly situated, and thinks that I have nothing else to do in my spiritual life. I am doing my spiritual life practically, I am experiencing, I am successful as well in spiritual life. He starts thinking like this, although he has not even never thought about going back home, back to Krishna. That thought has never occurred in his mind. He is judging his own spiritual life in terms of his little successes, material successes in this world, and he start thinking that my deity has fulfilled all my desires, so this deity must be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We come to that conclusion also at the end. So in order to remove all these doubts, in these next few verses, Krishna is establishing what is Krishna's position is. All these different powerful living entities in this world, demigods and other devadas, what is mentioned, kamaisthese hridajnanam prabadyant anyadevadaha. All these anyadevada, they are only businesses. Prakritim tandam neva vastaya prakritya niyadesvayam. That they will only fulfill that particular desire, what that person is asking. That nothing else they can do about it. Yo yo yam yam tanim bhaktam shraddhayarchitam icchasi tasya tasyajanam shraddham tamiva vidadamyaham. But what Krishna does is, when somebody is engaged in worshipping other deities very intensely and has developed some faith in that, Krishna makes that faith a little bit stronger. So that he will at least learn the process of accepting a higher authority. Even that is somewhat better than being an atheist. Atheist has no chance, because he is constantly refusing to accept the authority of the Supreme Personality, Krishna, or his servants, the demigods. None of them. He doesn't want to accept anybody. At least these lot, who are surrendering to demigods, they are accepting the servants at least, even if not the thought master. So even from that point of view, it is still better than not accepting even the servants. The atheist wants to fight with the servants, master, everybody. The rebellious nature inside is so powerful that he does not want to accept any authority, neither the Shastras, nor the Supreme Personality, nor the great souls, the Acharyas. So when that is the situation, it's more difficult. But here Krishna is saying that, yo-yo-yayam tanyam bhaktya shraddhaya archidam ichyadi tasya tasya janam shraddham tamiva vidadamyaham. That Krishna says, because of me, the demigods offer them that help, whatever they are worshipping for, and little by little their faith gets stronger in that.
Sadaya shradhaya yuktastasya aradhanam ihade labhate sudadakavan mayaiva vihidan hidan.
Then they will not come to that proper understanding that whichever deity they have been worshipping, then ultimately they are worshipping me. Indirectly they are worshipping me, because where did these demigods got the power to give the benediction to someone? That has come from Krishna. They did not have any power of their own. They got that power from Krishna. Krishna gave them the power. Because they are any elevated souls, the demigods have, due to their, they have pleased Krishna to such a degree that Krishna has given them this ability to make these benedictions or boons to the people who worship them.
Sadaya shabdaya yukta tasya aradhanam ihade labhate sadada kaman mayaiva vihidan hidan.
But what will happen is that they will, in due course, if they are fortunate enough, they will realize it, that these things have come to them only by my mercy. And once they understand that, then there is a possibility that they will know my glories, Krishna's glories. They will realize what is Krishna's position, and they will surrender unto him, and the knowledge will develop in that.
Andavandu phalam desham tadbhavatyalpamedasam devandevayajoyandi malbhattayandi mamavim.
Then whatever material desires one fulfills from all worshipping of the demigods, they are all temporary. And not only they are temporary, and they also they also may not be always beneficial to the person. Because there we make the decision. The difference between Krishna and the demigods is, when the demigods offer some boon or benediction to a living entity, because the devotee of the demigod is asking for that and he fulfills that, demigods doesn't think anything more than that. But when Krishna offers something, Krishna thinks more than the demigods do. Krishna thinks by offering that benediction, is that going to destroy his spiritual life? If it is going to destroy his spiritual life, Krishna doesn't offer that. Only once, only when Krishna realizes that by offering that particular benediction, the devotee is not going to fall off from spiritual life and suffer in this material world further, only then Krishna offers any benediction to a devotee. So therefore, generally, there are not many devotees for Krishna. They will say, Krishna, no matter how much you ask him, he doesn't give anything. Whereas demigods are very freely giving me what I am asking. Everywhere the problem is the same. Problem is this, that our mind is making the decision, what is good for us. We don't allow Krishna to make that decision. And because we have strongly in our own mind come to the conclusion that, at least for the moment, let me make the decision. We will see later, when we see Krishna, we will discuss it, what we should do. We'll talk about it later. That understanding has not come very deeply inside. All the time the mind is dictating. So mind is, as far as mind is concerned, senses should be gratified. So the mind will only tell us what is necessary for the senses. So in that process, very quickly we get driven to the worship of the demigods in so many different ways, which ultimately won't help us in going back home, back to Krishna.
That's why andavandu phalam desham tadbhavat alpamedasam.
Alpamedasam means very limited intelligence. Who does not have much intelligence? He's just satisfied.
Andavandu phalam desham tadbhavat alpamedasam devan devayajoyandi malbhattayandi mamavim.
Then then because all the demigods also, they are also under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they also do not have the capacity to give the transcendental knowledge or the experience of liberation to anyone. They are not able to do that. And because of that, how can they give permanent and eternal happiness to anyone? That's Krishna's point. That they themselves, their own position is very temporary. Krishna is eternal. Demigod's position is not eternal. They have to leave also one day. So, although they have a much longer period of life than us, demigods are not much different than the human species. Except the difference is, the demigods have a much longer lifespan. They have a high degree of knowledge, and they have a high degree of happiness. and they have higher administrative power in the whole cosmos, in the creation. So because of all this, they have been given certain authority in the management of this universe, and we get diverted our attention to that, and we think that because of their mercy alone we are. But Bhagavad Gita says in another instance, parasparam bhavayanda prema paramavapsyadha, that mutually cooperating with demigods and us, the human species, they could be happy together in this world, but nothing more than that. And in order to go back home, back to Krishna, one has to surrender to Krishna and Krishna alone. That is the point that's been made there. Whoever form one worships, one reaches that position at the end. Avyaktam vyaktim avanyam anyade mama buddhaya param bhavam ajanando mama ave manuttamam. Then foolish people who have not understood the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what does he do? He starts seeing Krishna in another different forms. The reason for that is the weakness of the mind and lack of purity in the heart, not able to properly segregate the position of the demigods and the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, and when the, by performing, it is, although it may be like that, it is not that that is the end of everything, but by performing austerities and penances and studying the Vedic literature through knowledge, one can develop the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness. That is possible, Krishna says. Avyaktam vyaktimavannam manyadeyamava buddhaya param bhavam ajanando mama vemayuttamam. That in due course, when he hear about my position, then he will understand this and he will start serving me at that point, Krishna says. That when he comes to the proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, when it comes to him, he give up the service of all the other insignificant deities in this world. Evam durlabhya vastunya visalabhadaya hastalabdheya danya tanya vaja dhiya vajadi badajanat shudra deva spudeyam. That this human life is a precious thing. It's precious in the sense, evam durlabhya vastunya visalabhadaya. After getting a human form of body, if one simply engages in gratifying the senses and looking for support from the demigods for gratifying the senses, then he is not very intelligent. Why? Evam durlabhya vastunyabhi sulabhadaya hastalabdheya danya. That Krishna is there in the temple and to be worshipped. And instead of serving Krishna, one takes to the service of so many other insignificant deities. Hastalabdheya danya tanva vaja dhiyava. By one's own words and the mind and the intelligence. Vaja dhiyava bhajadi bhadajana chudra deva spudeyam. One starts simply thinking that let me serve all these other different insignificant shudradevam, shudradeva spudeyam. I start serving the shudradevadas in this world for satisfying my different needs. That is not considered to be very intelligence. Etetavadvayandum sthiradharamanasa vishvabida avahatyaihi. That ultimately one has to approach Krishna to get the mind fixed up in Krishna consciousness, not in anything else. Everything else is simply to increase our bodily. The purpose of all this, or approaching demigods to satisfy our material desires, will only increase our bodily identification. That is the wrong side of it. That at worshipping the demigods eventually brings us to that understanding that our bodily identification will increase from that. Therefore, Krishna says here that Andamandubalam Desham Tolbhavatyalpamayadasam Devan Devejoyandi Malbhaktayandi Mamabi Avyaktam Vyaktimavannam Manyade Mamabuddhaya Param Bhavamajayando Mamavimayuttamam. Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata moodhoyam navijanadi logoma amajavyayam. That naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrata. How is all of us are this living entity inside, which is the soul inside the body, that is what keeps this body functioning. And everything is, and inside this, Krishna, this soul, which is a part and parcel of Krishna, is shining there. It is the shining power of that soul that is manifesting in the body, the life, what we call as the life. that but when we are covered by ignorance, we are covered by ignorance, the soul will not develop that knowledge. On the other hand, the mind will take over. And what will happen is that instead of taking the shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose position is above everything else, we will simply take the shelter of the Shudra Devadas or these insignificant deities and get caught up in that worship, get caught up in that worship in this world. And the result of all that is that what can happen is that one will not be able to utilize this human life for the purpose what it is intended for. In other words, the human life is meant to go back home, back to Godhead. And if one does not put any effort in that direction, but simply engages in fulfilling all the material desires by worshipping the demigods in this world, ultimately he has lost a chance. Naham bhagacha sarvasya yogamaya asama avrata mudhoyam nabhijanadi logoma amajam avyayam. That he does not realize my position, Krishna says. He is thinking that Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya sama avradam, that he is covered by Mayadevi is so powerfully that he is not able to break through that and see my position. If you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find that in the beginning of Bhagavatam itself, Vedavyasa Maharshi says about this, how powerful this Maya is. Maya is that curtain behind us, between us and Krishna. The very strong curtain that keeps us not able to look towards Krishna, but look towards the other side, to the opposite side. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihide male apashyal purusham purvam mayam cha tadubashrayam. Bhagavatam says like this, that bhakti yogena manasi, when one develops bhakti yogam, when one advances in the path of bhakti, in Krishna consciousness, in other words, bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male, that the purified consciousness will make him to realize that apashyal purusham purvam. Vedavyasa Maharshi, before he started writing Srimad Bhagavatam, he found Krishna standing there but at the same time he also saw mayam jatadubha ashrayam. Srinarada Maharshi gave this special mercy to Vedavyas before writing Srimad Bhagavatam. This was the mood in which he started writing Bhagavatam. Bhakti yogena manasi samyak pranihido male apashyal purusham purvam mayam jatadubha ashrayam. That he saw Krishna standing there and he also saw Mayadevi standing there, who is subservient to Krishna, serving Krishna, and in that position. That is how he saw Maya. And that Maya is what is holding us away from Krishna. So to break through that strong fence of Mayadevi, which is three modes of material nature, one has to put a lot of effort. Only when then one realizes our relationship with Krishna. And that is the time when one is freed from the material existence. So this is how Srimad Bhagavatam begins with that. Krishna is saying here, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya sama avrata mudhoyam nabhijanadi logoma amajam avyayam. One has great difficulty otherwise. Vedaham samadhidani vartamanani jarjuna bhavishyani jabudani mamdu vedanagaschanam. That what is speciality with Krishna? Why is he called the Supreme Personality? Because he knows the past, he knows the present, and he knows the future as well. What is going to happen? Only one person knows, that's Krishna. Vedaham samadhidani vartamanani jarjuna bhavishyani jabudani mamdu vedanagaschanam. That the living entity cannot see very far. How much can we see? I don't know if you have thought about this. In this particular body where we are now today, our position is like this. We have no knowledge of the past. Before we came to this body, do we know what we were before? We have no idea what we were in our previous lifetime. Not even know that we didn't know whether we had a previous life or not. Even that is not sure what we were before. We don't know what we are today also. So in other words, past is not known, the present is also not known because of the particular identification with this current material body, which is our present position. So, and what about the future? Future also is the same. There is no knowledge of the future either. But no knowledge of the past, no knowledge of the present, and no knowledge of the future. Past and future, you will agree. But even the present situation is, because of the identification of the body, we don't even know our own real identity. So in other words, the ignorance that is covering us is so deep-rooted. Krishna is trying to awaken us up, to make us realize that this is the pit you have fallen into. Every one of us, we have fallen into this pit. And in that pit we are thinking, we are learned. Worst thing to happen, that even while fallen into this most unfortunate situation, where we have no knowledge of anything, past, present or the future, we are still thinking that we have a lot of knowledge. And we have a lot of knowledge, and we are also very proud about that. That is another thing. The pride that has built up with that so-called knowledge. Whereas Krishna is saying, if you have knowledge, you don't even know anything about yourself, and still you are declaring boldly and challenging me every second. That is Krishna's attitude towards us. Although this challenge lasts only for a few years and then it's finished. But still that mentality, or the unable to understand our ignorant situation and the position of Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, this is where we are trapped. This is where we are trapped. That's what Krishna says here. Vedaham samadhidani vartamanani jarjuna bhavishyani jabudhani vamtu vedana kashchana. My dear Arjuna, in fact, Arjuna was probably trembling when he heard all these things, when Krishna was saying to him that you are so-called talking to me with your knowledge, and I know what is past, what is present and what is future. Do you know anything about it? Krishna asked Arjuna. To not make Arjuna realize, not only Arjuna, all of us, we are all in the same situation. We have no idea about the past, nor about the present, nor about the future. And this is where we are today. In that long journey, what we have started from the spiritual world, for how long it has started, don't know. When did it start? Don't know. When will it finish? Don't know. All, everything? Don't know. Don't know. Don't know. But still, the mentality, I know everything. So this is the greatest misfortune in the human body. That is to make us realize, Krishna is saying, Vedaham samadhidani. Krishna says, I know every one of you when you left the spiritual world. Vartamana anija Arjuna, and what's going on in your mind also I know. Bhavishya anija bhudani, I also know what's going to happen to every one of you. Vamtu veda anakaschana, there's nothing which I do not know. That is Krishna's position. Icha dvesha samutvena, dvandumohena bharada, sarvabhudani samoham sargeyandi bharandava. That icha and dvesham, desire and hate. That is the two things Krishna says here. Then our so-called consciousness also is not very permanent in that sense. That we are not steady in our own mind, is it? Sometimes you think this is the right thing to do. The next moment you think something else is better to do. So this way mind is also changing all the time. The different, it sends back different messages. Icha dvesha samutvena, dvandva mohena bharada, dvandva moham, that duality of desire and hate. We desire so many things and we hate so many things in this world. That is the nature of the mind. Icha dvesha samutvena, dvandva mohena bharada, sarva bhudani samoham sargeyandi parandava. Then due to the activities or karma what we have engaged in there, we also, there is no possibility of developing knowledge because of our gross involvement in the different kinds of material activities. So how much in a weak situation, or how unfortunate condition the living entity is, you can see from these verses, that he has no freedom to do anything. He is so controlled by the modes of material nature. He is controlled by the modes of material nature. He has no knowledge about past, present or future. He has no knowledge either. All the senses are dictating to him to surrender to the senses. And from every angle when you look at it, our own individual position is so weak, and we have to fight so many enemies against us. And then what do? Icha dvesha samutvena, that desire and hate that is very strongly in us, to desire all the time and to hate things also. And is controlled by these things, dvandva mohena bharada, sarva bhudani sammoham sargeyandi parandava. All big, big men, if you take in this world, you can see they are also under the, in the same situation as anyone else in this world. They may be placed in high positions, politically or materially, but that does not release them from these conditions what Krishna has imposed on us. They are also subjected to the same conditions as we are. They are not released from that. Only those devotees who have freed themselves by Krishna's mercy, they are the ones who have released from this the misfortune, unfortunate situation. Otherwise, every one of us are controlled by the modes of nature. Yesham tundagadam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandamohadamukta bhajandimaham dradavradaham. So Krishna says, in order to get out of this situation, start somewhere. Yesham tundagadam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Then if you engage in spiritual activities, pious activities, that will purify you. Krishna is saying, tundagadam papam. Papam is what is causing distress. So sinful activities, that is what is causing us the distress and unhappiness in this world. And all this anxiety what we build up in our life, that is not going to help. That anxiety is not going to help because we have not found the real problem. Problem is, Krishna is saying, your past activities are causing you the present distress. That has come from that. So change your activities in such a way by which you will become purified. Yesham tundagadam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Punyakarmanam, by pious activities, you will get rid of your distress. And when that happens, te dvandva mohanamukta, you will get released from this dvandvam. Dvandvam means this desire and hate. You will get released from that. Bhajandemaham dradavradaham. Then you will get fixed up in your mind of serving me. Otherwise, if you simply make adjustments in life all the time, the adjustments will go on like this, but at the end there will be no answer to the problems. Yesham tundagadam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva mohanamukta bhajandemaham dradavradaham. That as long as the mind is motivated by material happiness and find shelter in the material world, there is no possibility of progressing in spiritual life. That's why Krishna is saying here, yesham tundagadam papam jananam punyakarmanam. Punyakarmanam, by pious activities, one can free oneself from this. Te dvandva mohanamukta bhajandemaham dradavradaham. So when one intensely worships Krishna, serves Krishna, and he is freed from these dualities in the material world, then he is properly fixed up. And then the spiritual knowledge helps him to develop strength from there.
Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashrite dandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma cha akhilam.
Then when the devotion is very strong in the mind, that is very fixed up in his Krishna consciousness, then
jaramarana mokshaya mama ashrite dandiye te brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyalpam karma cha akhilam.
That janmam, that means the birth, the old age and the death, these are the symptoms of the material existence. That what will happen is, Krishna says here, that when one endeavor only for releasing from this, that means birth, death and old age, when one sees the distress in that and approaches Krishna to free oneself from that alone, then he will develop proper spiritual knowledge. Otherwise, spiritual knowledge won't come to him. That is Krishna's point. Krishna says, in another place also, later on you can see that Krishna talks about these things, that
amanitvam adambitvam ahimsa chandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaujam sthairyam alpavinigraham. Indriyarteshu vairagyam manahangara evaja janmam mrityu jaravyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam.
In another chapter, Krishna says that in order to develop this, first of all, to develop this understanding that birth, death and old age is our problem. Birth, death, old age and disease. This is our four problems. Out of that, the three things, particularly birth, old age and death, these are the problems of human life. And in that, in order to build up that understanding, Krishna says that Indriyarteshu vairagyam manahangare evacham. If you want that strongly to come to your mind, one has to control one's own senses. When the senses are controlled strongly, and when one is free from false ego, when one is released from false ego, he will see janma mrityu jara vyadhi. He will see the distress in these four things. When janmam, mrityu, jara and vyadhi. Birth, death, old age and disease. So, birth, death and old age and disease, today if we say to someone that these are very distressful things, they are saying, why you bother about that? This birth, death, old age and disease. They are not such important issues. Our issues are environmental problems, overpopulation, and then not sufficient food for the whole population in this world. And then they say that pollution is a big thing. This is the classification of the problems from the scientists and environmentalists. And most of the elected governments in this world, or all, majority you can say almost 100%, is working on this principle. That they see that these are the only problems, there's no other problem. In other words, they have already decided they will live a happy life in this world. All these big leaders and the planning commission are all the big advisors who gives advice to them in this world, how to maintain human life happily in this world at the cost of so many other things. So they are saying, when they analyze these verses, they are thinking that this has nothing to do with us. This is all somebody who has not bothered about the life in this world. But those who are in knowledge, they see different. Those who are in knowledge, they see that all these problems that we have created, it was not given to us by Krishna's arrangement. Whereas birth, death, old age and disease, the moment you have accepted a material body, that is our main problems. So we are not even able to find out what the problem is, what to talk about solving the problem. We are not even aware of the problems, what we should be trying to resolve. So in that ignorance, we keep on adding our input into it, create more vasanas, create more bondage and continue changing the bodies. Just see how much lack of spiritual knowledge creates the lack of spiritual knowledge misguides the living entity in this world. And how he is driven by that whole lifetime and ultimately a wasted life and leaves this world in distress. So that is the result of that. So the learned, realized souls, great devotees and great sages, they have already discussed these issues in depth, and from their realization and Krishna's instructions in the Bhagavad Gita, Indriyarteshu Vairagyam, that is the basic requirement, Vairagyam from sense enjoyment. Indriyarteshu Vairagyam Anahangaram Evacham, and freedom from false ego, another important requirement, because as long as that false ego is kicking, it is impossible to understand Krishna. And janmam mrityu jara vyadhi dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Janmam mrityu jara and vyadhi. One will be able to see the distress in all these things. And Krishna says one should see the distress in all these things. If one does not see them, one will not understand what human life is all about. That is why in those verses it is spoken in a very directly to the human society. Krishna is saying like this to Arjuna, that amanittvam adambittvam ahimsa shandirarjavam acharyopasanam shaujam sthairyam atmavinigraha indriyarteshu vairagyam anahankaram evacha janmam mrityujaravyadi dukkha dosha anudarshanam asakti anabhishvanga putra dara griha adishu nityam ja samachittatvam ishta anishta opavattishu. Krishna is saying, if one wants to advance on the spiritual path, just see the preconditions, what Krishna has attached to that. That asakti, anabhishvanga, freedom from attachment, and no desire to enjoy in this world. Putra dara griha adishu. These are the three things. Putra, children, wife and house. The three eshanatrayam, as it is called in the shastram, for a man and for women also in the same way. Putra dara griha adishu. And then nityamja samachittatvam ishtanishto bhavatishu. In this world, at different times, happiness and distress will come and go. in order not to allow the mind to be affected by that samajitattvam, that is necessary, Krishna says. When those things are there, one can, fixed up in these distresses of this human body, namely birth, death and old age and disease. Maijananya yogena bhaktiravya vicharani vyabhicharini vivikta desha sevitvam aradarjana samsadi. Krishna says there that when one engages in my service wholeheartedly, bhakti yogena maijananya yogena bhakti avyabhicharini, that kind of pure devotion, when one offers to, surrenders to me and engages in my service, vivikta desha sevitvam aradarjana samsadi, and keeps away from the rest of the world. We have the tendency, we think in the name of association with the devotees, we think that all the time we have to socialize and I'm making spiritual progress. This is the illusion what we have generated in our head. But what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita is, you have to be reflective in your own mind how to stay away from people. Vivikta sevetvam aradhira janasam sadhi. This keeping away from others, and in order to reflect on the principles what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita, they are more valuable. If one does not do that, simply thinking that, simply in the association, socializing, one will make spiritual progress, that is another illusion. Adhyalpa jnana nityatvam. One has to fix his mind in adhyalpa jnanam, in spiritual knowledge. Tattva jnana artha darshanam. And he is constantly searching for the truth in such a way. Tattva jnana artha darshanam. And he is philosophically researching for the truth by instructions from Krishna's instructions from Bhagavad Gita. Edal jnanam idi proktam. Krishna says, I consider all this as knowledge. And then, ajnanam tadananyatha. Everything else is, Krishna says, is ignorance. Krishna is very open and straight with us about it. Krishna is saying this, all these things, qualities I have discussed before, if you accept that, and if you live according to that, then you will be able to make that progress in the spiritual path. Often we misunderstand all these things because we don't take these things very seriously. And then we take what suits our senses. And what suits our senses is all the time somebody to talk to chat, and to eat some nice prasadam together. And together we are progressing in spiritual life. And all this illusion we build up around us. Instead of accepting what Krishna is saying to us, that Krishna is saying that reflect yourself on what I have spoken and develop that frame of mind whereby you can see these things, birth, death, old age and disease, as your greatest problems of this world and be fixed up in that. That is what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So throughout Bhagavad Gita you will find to make us aware what are the problems of human life, what is the solution. In one instance, Srila Prabhupada wrote at one point several letters to several great personalities who are great professors and people who have acquired great positions in this world, and few questions addressed to them, asking them what are the problems of this world, what is the solution, and these kind of questions that were posed, and the answers came back. Not one of them had any understanding of what Krishna has spoken about it. Their problems were, as I mentioned before, one of them were saying to Prabhupada that environmental problems is the greatest problem in this world. If you don't sort out these environmental problems, what will happen to this planet? He was more concerned about the planet than about himself. This was the sad thing. That he was worried that if this something will happen to this planet, he was not even thinking that he will be kicked out of the planet after a while. That consciousness hasn't gone to his head. But he was thinking that I have to worry about this planet a lot. And he found all the solutions also he has recommended in his letter, what he has to do. So another person came up with the overpopulation issue. He realized that because of the advancement in medicine and all other things, that we have a increase in the population. That was his concern about it. Something has to be done about that. How to increase the food production in order to meet the needs of all these people. But a personality who is advanced and understood Krishna does not think these as any problems at all. If Krishna can create all these millions of universes, and if Krishna can feed us, is that a problem for Krishna to feed a few hundred people or a few million people more? That question doesn't arise. Because the ignorance and yogamaya is so powerful that covering these so-called learned personalities, they cannot even appreciate even these very simple facts of life, what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. That's why it means that mai jananya yogena bhaktir avyabhijarini vivikta desha sevetum aradir janasamsadi. Krishna says if you develop this understanding, then adhya alpa jnana nityatvam tattva jnana artha darshanam, that if one is fixed up in adhyalpa jnana means spiritual knowledge. If spiritual knowledge is there, tattva jnana artha darshanam, edal jnanam iti proktam, all that I consider, if one is searching for me, searching for the absolute truth philosophically and with the proper understanding from Bhagavad Gita, tattva jnana artha darshanam edal jnanam iti proktam, I call that as knowledge, Krishna says. So you can see what Krishna calls us then. Ajnanam tadanyatha, everyone else is ignorant. Krishna uses the word ignorant. Ajnanam tadanyatha, everything else is ignorance as far as Krishna is concerned. So Bhagavad Gita gives us the understanding of the position of the living entity in this world and also the transcendental knowledge. Jaramarana mokshaya mama ashrite dandi te brahma tadvita krishnam adhyalpam karma cha akhilam, that in due course they become realized and the knowledge shines in them. Sadi bhudhadi devamam sadi yajnam jaye vidu prayana kale vijamam te viduryukta jaye dasam adhibhudam adhidevam adhiyajnam. And Krishna, they come to know about that. Not only that, at the time of death, that their mind is purified and knowing well about Krishna, they will be able to give up their body. And at the time of death, generally what happens is, who have not cultivated Krishna consciousness, all their vasanas, which they have not been able to fulfill in that particular life, they will come very strongly at that time in front of the mind. And they will take away all the peace and happiness in life at that point. But Jnani's story is not like that. He is very fixed up in his position as the knowledge. Because of the spiritual knowledge is so strongly cultivated by the Jnani, Jnani is not disturbed by that. Therefore, he will be able to leave this material world in a peaceful way. So Krishna says like this. I'll just read the last verse also, for Prabhupada has mentioned about it. That sadhi bhudhadi devamam sadhi yajnanjaye vidu prayana kale vijamam te vidu yukta jayedasa. Krishna says, those who know me as the Supreme Lord, as the governing principle of the material manifestation, that is sadhi bhudam, who know me as the one underlying all the demigods, that is the sadhi devam, adhi devam, and who knows me as the one sustaining all sacrifices, adhiyajnam, with steadfast mind, understand and know me even at the time of death. So, with these verses, we finish that 7th chapter, and then we move on to the 8th chapter. 8th chapter begins with attaining the Supreme, as Prabhupada has titled that, which we will begin on next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Okay. Yeah.